Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 120 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and texting and typing Sean Orford.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
I just noticed you haven't got any socks on.
Yeah, or shoes.
Or shoes or sandals or whatever you usually
wear. Yeah, yeah. I'm being bohemian today.
Yeah, sticking to type. I like it. I've got a text on my phone from you, unread. When will you be here? Well, I am here and I'm ready to go.
Eventually, yeah, you got here eventually.
My usual 7 to 11 minutes late.
That's standard.
Yeah.
I should reset all the clocks if they were 11 minutes.
I think the universe just wants me to be late, though, because I was actually set up on time today and then I hit a load of traffic.
I like that. Well, the universe wanted me to be late.
Just expects me to be. Although,
sorry, officer, the universe wanted me to punch this man on the nose.
I didn't hit traffic. I was part of traffic. People say that too much, don't they?
Yeah.
I think it's a Seinfeld joke, but basically we all need to take responsibility. If you're in traffic and you're complaining about it, you need to stop it, because you're a big part of the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Get off the road.
Yeah. Anyway. This week we're talking about stepchildren and whether or not you feel, or some people feel like, outsiders. When they inherit this other family,
right? Yeah. The modern phrase is blended families. Okay. We haven't blended.
Yeah, I've just learned that.
And I think that it sounds better than step families to me. It sounds more kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
Whereas step, I'm not quite sure what step means. Was that come from?
I don't know where that came from. We should look into that. Really. Yeah. We could pause and look, but time is money.
We'll come back.
How are you doing though? You okay?
I'm good. I am good. I have started running again.
Ah.
So I'm up to 7K. So I did 7K at the crack of dawn today.
Very good. It's feeling good. Any changes?
Yeah. No. It surprised me how easy it's been to get back into it. I've been doing 4Ks, 5Ks, just doing 7K.
Are you going to be taking it easy, or are you going to push it and push it?
I'm going to start doing some more work with Conrad every other week.
My personal training pal, rockmountain.co.uk. Yeah,
is a good man.
Yeah.
And I'll... I'm not going to go for marathons anymore or anything like that. I'm going to just be more kind of a maintenance runner.
Yep.
But I need a bit of Conrad to get me on the straight and narrow. To get me.
We all need a bit more Conrad in our lives.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, now I've been getting quite a bit of exercise myself recently, hopping out my bike here and there, legging it to meetings. It's all good. It's all good.
You actually look quite toned and fit.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
You do. Yeah.
Feeling alright, feeling good, yeah, but yeah. I've just got a seat for the back of my bike as well to chuck Will into, and I took him to school on it this morning.
Alright.
So he arrived.
Does he pedal?
No.
Oh, it's not a pedally thing.
Well, he's just going to strap his feet in and everything.
Alright, yeah.
He just sits and chats behind me and chats away. And,
no.
Yeah. It's cool though, just enjoying the last bit of sunshine. It's been a lovely day, hasn't it? Nice little start to autumn we've had.
Yeah, nice and warm.
Not too bad.
I like it. It's good.
Right. Okay, let's crack on. First up, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, in case you're new to the show. If you put your email address in the box there, or one of the boxes, we'll send you some free goodies via email, free meditation files, and little ebooks, that kind of thing. So head over and check that. There'll also be all the show notes, because we're going to mention a few links within the show, as we always do, and they will all be on the website, plus every single episode, backed up, archived, on the site. Not bad, eh?
Yeah, I keep coming across people that say I'm working my way through them.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, I've done it with plenty of other podcasts, so I can. It's quite a satisfying thing getting through all that stuff.
Yeah,
like
it's good.
I follow that Casey Neistat daily vlog.
Yeah,
and I've been watching it for weeks and weeks, but there's still loads that I need to get through, and I really enjoy it. So, oh, cool. But yeah, as we encourage listeners to email us and ask us to talk about various things, and we have had a message on our Facebook page from Trisha, who I won't read the whole message, but saying she enjoys the show, which is great. We appreciate that, obviously. And basically, Trisha's got in a situation where she's got a few grown-up stepchildren. I believe the rough ins and outs of it are that two of them she gets on fine with, but one she just can't click with, and there's a bit of a prickly, spiky relationship there. And it sounds like Trisha's taking the high ground and being polite and friendly and cool, but she's not getting much in return, so... It's quite an interesting one, this, Sean, I think, because, well,
yeah. stats-wise. Well, big issue.
I mean, stats-wise, you do hear that divorce is on the rise, yada, yada, yada.
It's actually dropped back a bit.
Okay.
It got up to nearly 50%, down to 42% at the moment.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah.
So. But either way, it's reasonably high, so...
Yeah.
As people move on and go into other relationships, you're going to become into one of these blended families. You're going to bump into other children that aren't yours, aren't you? So
yeah, and if you go into any classroom, I'm sure it varies from kind of area to area, but there must be some classrooms where the majority of the kids are either in single parent homes or in blended homes.
Yeah.
So that it becomes quite a big issue. I mean, the issue that Trish is talking about here is having one child who sounds like they're being quite horrible to her. And that is something I deal with a lot in the consulting room, with people who are trying to get on with a child that isn't theirs.
Yep.
And it could be either which way round, but it appears to me that in lots of cases, if a divorce has been acrimonious and there's lots of unresolved stuff, very often the parent, the natal parent, let's say that you have a new woman living with a husband and the husband's got stepchildren, got children that are her stepchildren, that the natal mother can start fighting out her unresolved issues by proxy through the kids. You get this kind of vicarious war going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Using the child as a bit of a weapon.
Yeah.
Or like a missile firing it between to and from.
Yeah. Which is really, really unfair for the kids, because the kids become the meat and the sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, I do see it where either a family end up divorcing a child because they can't cope with it anymore, or the new couple end up divorcing because they can't cope with it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that get damaged from this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, I get it in a really small way, even because obviously I've got a couple of little nippers and William is getting to the age where he's mixing with other children now, which is cool. And we Will had his first sleepover on Saturday, which was good fun. Little girl came to stay at our house. We know the parents really well. And she's brilliant, man. She's a great laugh. But even in that little short, 12-hour slot, the girl just has a different routine to how we do things, Yep. So there's little things that we're not used to. As much as we love her, it's like, imagine that on a bigger scale where you're forced into living with this person, child on it.
Yeah, a child that maybe you didn't want, and the child didn't want you.
And you didn't raise and does things a different way, maybe...
Yeah, values are completely different. I mean, that's the kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, what happens if in the other family, the kids don't have... There are no boundaries. Kids can stay up as long as they like.
Yeah.
They can eat what they want, when they want. And you're not like that. You know, you live in a house where, kids should go to bed at a certain time.
Yeah.
So, and you then either become the wicked stepmother or the wicked stepfather because you're trying to enforce something on kids that isn't natural for them. But their situation isn't natural for you.
Yeah. That's funny. I'm laughing. I think the father of the child I'm talking about listens to the show every now and again, so we'll be chuckling away. But, it came to bedtime, so we were getting everyone ready.
Yeah.
And I put some toothpaste on her toothbrush. And she started brushing away, and she kind of face screwed up a bit because it was like grown up toothpaste.
All right.
So like, Will's always had just normal toothpaste that we use. Mm-hmm. But the girl that was staying. She has a special little, strawberry,
strawberry flavoured
toothpaste.
Yeah.
She's like,
do they do chocolate flavoured toothpaste?
I don't think so. That'd be probably nice. Market for that, though.
I'd have it.
Just brush them right off. Yeah. Scrub your teeth away with chocolate. Give it a go.
Sounds good. I think that there are things that you can start to do. I mean, ideally, the four adults start talking to each other.
Yeah.
And the more the four adults can do that, the less pressure there is on the children. But it has to be a doable deal. Sometimes that's just impossible. You can't do that because the negative feelings within that. You do get situations where the two women don't get on, but the two men do, or the other way around, that kind of stuff.
Men always get on. We're always cool. Okay.
Some people.
No, well, I've got a situation. I've got a pal, actually, who is with... I'll mention her names, of course. She's with another partner who's going through a divorce, and he's got a child who comes to stay with her. every week or every other week, something like that, I'm not sure. But the fact, even just the fact that there's a divorce ongoing and it's quite close to the the end really isn't helping at all. Because it's almost, you can't say what you want to the child in terms of what you expect them to be doing and how they act until the divorce is over. As soon as that's over, it's like, right, this is how you're doing it. So you've got to be real careful, haven't you?
Yeah, but the whole conflict, it's a clashing of cultures, two different things going on. Yeah. What happens if the child feels that in having being nice to the new stepmother, could be the stepfather, but if we look at the stepmother, if they're in being nice to them, they're actually being disloyal to their mother.
Yeah.
So that they feel that they can't say things, mm-hmm. or they can't be nice, because if they were being nice, that in some way that would be bad for their mother. Yeah. And unless the mother has got the awareness and wherewithal to say, no, it's okay to go and like that person. You know, when you're with them, they look after you. You know, that's the person that cares for you.
Yeah.
But it's dead hard if you're a step parent and you're going out of your way to get it right for a child, and the child either is rude or nasty or ignores you or is just cold or whatever. And it doesn't matter what you do. You dance around on one foot and you try and be this special person, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And when it's like that, it's the kind of thing that it's, if you go back to the Live in the Present book, it's the law of allowing. You have to allow people to be what they are. But that does have two sides to it, doesn't it? It's like one of the things is that if you have an objectionable stepchild and they're being objectionable in the second family, then it can be that the family collectively decide that they don't want the stepchild to come in, or they want to reduce the amount of visits because it becomes too disruptive and too negative and too nasty.
Yeah,
because for everybody, it doesn't matter what age you are, there's a consequence to what you do. And a stepchild needs to learn that as much as a stepparent. It's like it's learning to work together. But when you hit a brick wall, you can either bash your head on the wall until you become unconscious, or you can move away from the wall. They don't want to do that.
Yeah, it must be frustrating as well, because often, you know, if a child's being passed back and forth, maybe the kid's, for example, saying, having just weekends with the father and the week with the mother, or vice versa.
It's worse than that. The standard access arrangement in Britain is every other weekend.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, one visit during the week, but geographically that might not be possible.
Yeah? So you've got to put a lot of trust in the other parents to be doing the right thing in the time, you know.
But the problem is, if you're the step parent and you have a certain kind of culture in your house that you're hoping the kid will apply with, and then they're only going to spend 48 hours with you, and then the next 2 weeks they're with their other in the other regime.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's conflicts all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? I do have some tactics that I think are useful. I've done them with lots of people. One of the things that is a really good thing is to have a tea time where everybody sits down around a table. So we've got step family, blended family, sat around the table. And there's a deal at this particular meal. It's a particular day. It could be the Friday or the Saturday, whatever the meal is, tea time, breakfast, whatever. But the deal is that anybody is allowed to say anything that they want. Yeah, there's no restrictions.
Swear words included.
Depends on the family. I think you have to put your rules in. Yeah, but people are allowed to be honest. So it could be that someone can say, you know, I don't like it when I come here. I don't like it because this is, you know, you do that or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but rather than being a reactive thing turning into an argument, it's like, okay, how can we deal with that? And it could be that the person says, well, actually, I'm not prepared to change that because this is the way that it is here.
Yeah.
Yeah? But it also gives the people a chance to say, but actually, when you come here, you do this. It makes me feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about Trish's example.
You don't know what ages they are.
Yeah.
So are we talking about teenagers as grown up?
Or
are
grown
we
up, talking? I think. But
are we talking? They could be 30 and 40.
Grown up children. So I don't know. Yeah, but they're grown up enough to probably express themselves in a sophisticated manner. So is the time coming? Do you think? Well, we don't know too much. But for Tricia to ask the child she's not getting on with, what the issue is? I'm assuming she hasn't yet.
I suppose I'd like to say, Trish, if you want to have a one-to-one on this, email me, and we can kick some ideas around. It'd be interesting to know ages and genders and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But the issue is about having some kind of clear conversation with somebody. And how do you do that? What's the strategy to get there? And sometimes it's the way you use language that either opens up or closes down things. It's that kind of stuff. So working out what kinds of personalities we're dealing with, and then working out a strategy that hopefully would open a door. Because if you say to somebody, do you realise when you do that it makes me feel like this? And they might say, yes, bloody good job, that's what I intended. But we all know where we stand now. You know what I mean? It's one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, well, Trisha, sorry. Send you an email. I'll message you anyway, but... tricky, isn't it? Tricky.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of some good resources. I mean, there's actually bucket loads of stuff on Google. The first thing I found on Google was a Guardian article titled I Love Him But Not His Kids. And that led on to a website called childlessstepmums.co.uk, which is like a support forum for... I think it's from women that haven't had children but then get with a partner who have children, then all of a sudden their mums, but to kids that are not theirs and they're grown up quite a lot already. Looks like quite an active little forum, so that might be worth a look.
It's good.
Bucket loads of stuff online.
But when you're in a situation where, I don't know what the stats are in other countries, but we're talking like 42 currently here of the percentage of divorces. Across Europe, the West, it must be pretty standard, I should think, which means that there are a lot of people out there with these kinds of problems. So there's going to be a lot of stuff on Google. Which is good. It's good to get into.
More now, because we're on there too.
Yeah. Hey, woo.
Hopefully on that first page. Can you imagine? Imagine that traffic. Woo.
Number one.
Helpguide.org. What's that? Step parent. Yeah, again, this I found this is where we discovered this term. Well, you knew all about it. Blended families, eh?
Which sounds nicer. It sounds nicer than step families.
It does.
Yeah.
But at some point, well, from various cases, counselling or therapy?
Well, family therapy is good, but very often you're only dealing with half the problem. You'd need both families there. To resolve it properly, usually.
Quite a
nightmare. But a big ask too, isn't it? If one of the parents is feeling really angry and they're playing out through the children, they've got to be a pretty big person to be able to come into that kind of consulting situation and solve it.
I guess often the mere suggestion of it will probably either cause offence or just even more... But something else, there comes a point where it's just worth doing anyway and asking.
And also it depends on how the previous relationship ended, doesn't it? If the stepmother or stepfather was the initiating person that kind of broke the relationship up, if we see it that way, you know, that'd be seen that way by the estranged person with it. Then it could be that there would never be a place where you can have a rapprochement. It would be continual negativity, you know.
Yeah.
But that, one of the resources that I'm putting in for this week, which is worth mentioning now, is because, and I think this is fascinating for me, is that because divorced parents have such problems communicating, the people are now starting to produce apps. So this app, which is Planny Click, which is...
Yes, it's your resource, eh?
Yeah, it's one of them. And it's about having things like shared access arrangements, shared shopping lists for school, so that you can both add into the phone, so it comes up on both, it's synced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that you can say, you know, Fred's being picked up by you that day, or, that's, you know, cool, by Nellie Smith the other day, whatever. So everybody knows what's going on, which seems to me quite a positive thing, because the lack of knowledge or information is one of the things that really gets people angry.
Yeah.
But it means that when people can't talk with each other directly, they can actually put the factual stuff down.
That's cool.
You know, need so-and-so for dinner on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of...
I guess one of the issues is from the side of the mother that maybe isn't spending the weekends with the kid is that, well, the father, the person in the week's doing all the hard work, but commas, getting to school, running around here, then everywhere, and then they head off to the for the weekend with mother or father too, and have a load of fun.
And people will say to me, it's okay for him because he's just like Father Christmas. I have to do all the hard stuff. And you can understand.
So all those things need to be considered, I guess.
But difficult times, I think, for anybody who's gone through that kind of issue. Difficult.
You've got another resource there as well.
Yeah, it's a blog from Psychology Today. It's a Step Monsters blog. and it's worth having a read, but it leads on to other things as well, which is good.
Marvellous. Okay. My resource isn't related to our topic at all, but I feel I need to mention it. A resource I mentioned ages ago, and maybe a couple of times, it's called liveyourlegend.net. It's by a chap called Scott Dinsmore. He's a youngish guy. He did an amazing TED talk, which went like super viral. And he died in the last week. He's died. He was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in a boulder. Got him.
Well.
And I've seen a couple of other... I was alerted to it by some of the guys on Fizzle.co, which I've mentioned, which is like a online business building website, because he did one of the courses on there. And then zenhabits.net or whatever it is. Leo Babauta, who's a big self-help blogger. He knew Scott quite well as well. So it's quite shocking, really. But Scott kind of managed to cram in more in his 33 years than a lot of folks do in their whole lives. But so, and he's left quite a bit behind. So I'm going to put his stuff online as kind of a bit of a duff of the cap and kind light a candle, because it's quite a sad little story, that.
Yeah. But at least, I know this sounds a bit trite, but at least he went out doing something that was hopefully fulfilling for him.
It's funny when you live your life online, what you leave behind, because I think the last blog post is about how, blogs and stories from 2 weeks ago. Oh, so they've put a memory one on now, but about 2 weeks ago, I'm going off the grid, therapy for an addicted and overconnected world. And that was kind of his last post. He was going offline, going to Africa with his wife for a bit to do some climbing, and that's kind of his last thing. But it's quite sad, but his stuff's online and he's left a lot behind which we can learn from. I just thought I'd mention that, really.
The thing that those kind of stories always make me think is all of us, we go out the door in the morning assuming that we're going to get where we're going and we're going to get back home in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, and for some people that didn't happen. And one day that could be us.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Indeed. So, flip the neck. Enjoy your day. So that's what I'm doing. Right. That's it for this week. Next week we're talking about helping those that need it, but perhaps won't. I'll think of a more snappy title than this, but don't worry. Basically, I've had an email actually from a listener who's, I think that she's got a friend who is suffering depression, that kind of thing, but doesn't quite know how to approach it and help, which is quite, let's say you've got a friend who's overweight or something, and you know they need help, but you're afraid to.
Yeah, how do you get that?
You can't just go and say, hey, you need to lose weight, because it's not going to help things out.
You don't sweat much for a fat lass.
kind of thing,
yeah. Needs a bit more sense than that, yeah.
So that's next week. Live in the live your legend then. present.co.uk for all the show notes and links to things we've mentioned, lots of other resources there as well. And that is it. Sean, you have a good week.
And you have a wild one.
See you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.